You know what that guy has is contagious. I want what he has. Today we are continuing with our series, 50 Days for Fire. So I want to encourage you to take your notes that are nearby you. And today we're going to talk about this issue of being filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We have taken some time, several weeks now. This is our sixth week, all heading toward the last week of this month is the weekend of fire, as we have endeavored to learn about the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And so before we jump into today's message, I felt like we're far enough along that we need to take just a few moments and review where we've been, what we've learned. Some of you may have been here for all of it. Some of you may have missed for part of it. So I want you to understand this context for today's message. Here's what we learned so far. On Sundays, we've talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is a person. He has a personality. He has all the attributes of a person, not an energy, not a doctrine, not a force, but a person that we can develop a relationship with. The Spirit and the Word go together. It's not the Spirit or the Word. It's the Spirit and the Word. They both go together and help us understanding what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And there are three dimensions of relationship with the Holy Spirit. Say it with me if you remember. The Holy Spirit is with everyone, including unbelievers, drawing them to Christ. The Holy Spirit is in all followers of Jesus. So when I give my life to Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside me. But the third dimension, or we call it the Holy Spirit in 3D, the Holy Spirit is upon Spirit-baptized believers. So that tells us that this third dimension, this baptism of the Holy Spirit, is subsequent to salvation or follows the salvation experience. And so we learn that the baptism of the Holy Spirit was promised by Jesus and fulfilled in the book of Acts. So Jesus promised, he told his disciples, go wait for the promise of heaven. They waited for the promise. In Acts chapter 2, it was fulfilled through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up and said, this is the promise, and it's for you and for your children. So Pentecost, we learned a few weeks ago, is a pattern throughout the entire Bible. It's not just a New Testament idea. We went through all of the Old Testament feasts, Passover, tabernacles, trumpets, and Pentecost, and we saw how they were all fulfilled through Jesus, or will be fulfilled by Jesus. And we found out that if we have faith to believe that Jesus fulfilled those feasts, then the way he fulfilled Pentecost is also for us. So if Jesus fulfilled Passover by becoming my Passover lamb, then I also need to receive by faith that he fulfilled Pentecost by baptizing people in the Holy Spirit. Which means that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is for all believers, not just for a select few. All right? And then last week, Pastor Jeff shared with you how the gifts and the power of the Spirit are for now, or for today, and they're for always. They have not ceased, and he did a great job diving into that. Now, we've also been discussing this on Wednesday nights, and going especially discussing spiritual language, speaking in tongues, spiritual gifts. And we've learned that spiritual language is biblical. It's Old Testament, New Testament. So this idea of speaking in tongues is not just a new idea. It didn't just come on the scene 100 years ago. It's a biblical idea. And it's the normal and expected experience of all New Testament believers. We learned that this spiritual language, praying in the Holy Spirit, has many blessings. And if you were a part of that, you learned just a bunch of stuff about that. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in the next few weeks. And we learned as we went through the book of Acts, and we learned the five different instances where people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we learned that the majority of the time people received the Holy Spirit when there was instruction given first, and then the people laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit, and the common sign among all of those that received the Holy Spirit was that they spoke in other tongues. So we learned that according to the book of Acts, the pattern is, how do I know I received the Holy Spirit? Well, I pray in a spiritual language, I receive this ability for this prayer language. We discussed the difference between speaking in tongues as a prayer language and the public gift of tongues in a church service. Lots of folks had questions about that when we administered our survey at the beginning of this. Hey, I don't understand what Paul says about this and that. And so we discussed what that means. Now, last Wednesday night, we discussed how both Luke and Paul, Luke wrote Acts and the book of Luke. Paul wrote the majority of instructions about speaking in tongues, but they both contribute to our understanding or our theology of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not Luke versus Paul. It's all Scripture is inspired and God-breathed and useful for correction and teaching and training in righteousness. How many are with me so far? Now, in our small groups, we've learned that the best way to know you're Pentecostal is not that you speak in tongues, but that you have love for one another. Right? We talked about the questions that people have about the Holy Spirit, and we talked about the importance of being in position to need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, if you've missed any of this, I want to challenge you to go on the website. These are all online. The notes are on the Welcome Centers. You can take those with you. And just maybe even if you were here, you want to listen to it again and again. And just to continue to build this foundation of understanding about this baptism in the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, Pastor, why are we taking 50 days to do all this? Because at the beginning of the year, God spoke to me pretty urgently that our church needed to refocus on what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Okay? Now, God wasn't speaking to me. He didn't say, Wayne, this doctrine is being lost. You got to correct people's thinking. You got to train a bunch of people to have the right doctrine. That wasn't what I felt at all. The urgency that I felt was that we need to be filled with the Spirit for different reasons. And that's what I want to talk to you today. And we're going to start in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 18, where Paul says this: Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Everybody say, be filled with the Spirit. Now, how many know that doesn't look like a question or even a suggestion? It looks like a command. Now, you've probably heard many preachers preach about this verse, but I want you to understand that this message today, be filled with the Spirit, is in the context of everything else that we've said concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So when Paul talks about being filled with the Spirit, we are saying that it's the context of the book of Acts. It's the context of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. It sounds pretty important. Sounds like it's a pretty big deal. Now, why is it such a big deal? Well, Acts chapter 2, verse 17, Peter said, on the day of Pentecost, after the Spirit is poured out, he said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Now, does anybody believe that we are living in the last days? We spent the whole month of February, didn't we, talking about last days fever and the growing concerns and fears about the world and governments and all of those different types of things. If you're reading the newspaper, watching the news, you know that we are seeing prophetic instances take place every single day. The book of Revelation, incredible things are taking place right before our very eyes. How many are with me? You see, this is the last days. And Peter is saying, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. He's seeming to say that especially so in the last days, the people of God need to be filled with the Spirit. That the people of God need to walk in the power of the Spirit. That's Paul's command to be filled with the Spirit of God. So why should we be filled? D.L. Moody, the famous Baptist, put it this way: God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we are not filled, it is because we are living beneath our privileges. Now, I want to take just three words and share with you why we need to be filled with the Spirit. This commandment of Paul, be filled with the Spirit. Why? Three words. The first word is life. Everybody say life. The second word is power. Everybody say power. Third word is holiness. Say holiness. So let's begin with this first one. Why be filled with the Spirit? Why is it so important? First of all, is because of life. Now let's go back to John chapter 7, verse 37. Read this with me. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of what kind of water? Living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, there's a whole lot about that verse that we could talk about, but Jesus stands up and says to everybody there, he goes, those who believe out of your belly or your heart — King James says belly, New King James that we're reading today says heart — out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. The emphasis on living and talking about life. How many know there's a difference between dead water and living water? Dead water stinks and it's full of junk and stuff. Living water is flowing. It's moving. It's fresh. It's healthy. Are you with me so far? Living water is powerful. So Jesus, and in case there was any doubt what he was talking about, the author said this, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. In case there was any confusion at all about what this living water is, he's saying this living water is the Holy Spirit of God. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God so that you will have living water on the inside of you. And we're calling it life. How many remember this old song? I got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Help me. Opens prison doors, sets the captives free. Come on, chickens. I got a river of life flowing out. Spring up, oh well, splish, splash, 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 within my... Children's church would do way better than you with make me whole. Spring up, oh well, and give to me that love. Awesome. Problem is, we all know different words. Right? Now listen. The Bible says that this Holy Spirit is life. Say life. Now let's go back to Ephesians 5:18, and we're going to read the verse again in a different translation. This was the New Living Translation. Paul says, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Enough said. Right? There's a clear command of Scripture, don't be drunk with wine. It will ruin your life. Instead, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I'm not the one that contrasts wine, being drunk with wine, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is Paul talking, making that contrast there. There is a clear directive there not to be drunk with wine. Paul said the alternative is to instead be filled with the Spirit. Now, what does our culture associate alcohol with? Fun, and parties, and good times, and singing. Bad singing. But, you know, singing. And the problem is, how many know it's a fake? It's only superficial. It's not going to last very long at all. And the problem is, Paul said, it will ruin your life. It's ruined marriages, ruined homes, relationships. It brings all kinds of trouble in people's lives. I read a headline this week that kind of sums it up. It says, man cooks with gunpowder after drinking. Okay, so there's a reason why we shouldn't do that. But how many know that our culture, especially our nation, has a problem with alcohol? Right? There's a growing addiction to alcohol in our culture, in our nation. As a matter of fact, while the recession is going up and everything else seems to be falling, consumption of alcohol is going up as well. Are you hearing me? Now listen, Paul's saying, if you're looking for joy and comfort, seek it in the Holy Spirit, not at the bottom of a bottle. Are you hearing me? He says, listen, the same pressures, the same problems and demands of life that drive some people to drink alcohol should drive us into a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. What happened in the book of Acts chapter 2 after they were all baptized in the Holy Spirit? Do you remember what they said about them? They said, are these dudes drunk? So there is another analogy. Paul said, don't be drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. You know what Paul is saying? He's saying that alcohol is a cheap imitation of a Spirit-filled life. That's what he's saying. He said, don't go looking for what you need in alcohol. Look for it in the Spirit of God. You want joy. You want laughter. You want strength. You want power. Be filled with the Spirit of God. I've never been drunk. I'm happy to tell you that. But I have been filled with the Holy Spirit, and it's good. Somebody say amen. So we're talking about life. Okay, so the Spirit of God brings life. Life to three areas. Write this down. First of all, life. The Spirit of God brings life to our prayer. Life to our prayer. The Bible says that they devoted themselves, the apostles did, to what? To prayer. There's 10 different references there where the apostles devoted themselves to prayer. Now remember, some of those apostles were the same three dudes that a few weeks earlier, Jesus was asking them, could you not pray with me 1 hour? And the answer was no. They kept falling asleep. Their prayer life stunk. Don't raise your hand if your prayer life stinks. But these were followers of Jesus, but their prayer life wasn't all that. Then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they became devoted to prayer. So this baptism of the Holy Spirit dramatically affected their prayer life. It gave life to their prayer life. Look at Romans 8:26. We do not know what to pray for or what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. You see, we need to be filled with the Spirit so our prayer life will be more powerful and more effective. You're telling me, Pastor, that if I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm filled with the Spirit, that my prayers will be more powerful and effective? I didn't say it. The Scripture says it. Because there will be times I don't even know how to pray, but the Spirit will pray through me. I won't have the words to pray. I'll be oh so overwhelmed with things and situations and circumstances. But I pray in the Spirit. Good stuff happens. Do you see that? Life to our prayer. Secondly, life to our walk. Being filled with the Spirit will give you a new and deeper relationship with Christ. Now look at what it says. This baptism of the Holy Spirit will result in Acts chapter 2, verse 41. This is after they're filled with the Holy Spirit. All the believers ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Say glad. Acts 13, 52, the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy. You see the connection between joy and the Holy Spirit so far? Romans 14, verse 17, Paul said, the kingdom of God is not drinking and eating, there's that analogy again, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The reason we need to live a Spirit-filled life, the reason God is drawing us to Himself, He says, be filled with the Spirit, because I don't want you to be overcome with the fear of the world. Jesus said in the last days, people will be overcome with fear. Their hearts will fail them with the fear of the things that are coming upon the earth. Worry, anxiety, stress, depression, oppression. And God says it doesn't have to be so for the people of God. You can walk in the Spirit and have the joy of God in your heart, even in the midst of difficult circumstances and difficult days. He says, be filled with the Spirit. You say, Pastor, I struggle with depression, I struggle with fear, I struggle with all these things. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit and watch joy replace fear. Watch power replace all of those other things. You want to be filled with the Spirit? Sounds good so far, doesn't it? Life to our prayer, life to our walk, and life to our worship. Being filled with the Spirit will have a dramatic effect on your worship. In Acts chapter 2, verse 11, remember, the Spirit is poured out, and the Bible says, they heard them speaking in tongues, and they heard them in their own languages, and they said, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. In Acts 2:46, the Bible says, every day the disciples continued to meet in together, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. The Spirit of God is poured out in Acts chapter 10, verse 46, and it says, they heard them speaking with tongues and praising God. It sounds like when people are filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects their worship. The result is more worship. The result is more powerful worship. Paul put it this way, 1 Corinthians 14:15. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. In Ephesians chapter 5, back to the chapter where we started, right after Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, look at what he says. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now this is the verse right after Paul's command, be filled with the Spirit. So listen, the context of this verse is saying, as a result of being filled with the Spirit, the result is it will affect your worship. You will speak to each other in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. You'll praise in the Spirit and you'll praise in the understanding. You'll worship with words that you understand, but you can also worship in a different dimension. Now, we did an experiment a couple Wednesdays ago, and we're going to do it today. All right? You ready? Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick on a row here in just a minute. I'm looking. And what I want you to do, I want you to say a phrase of praise to God. I'm going to give you one. Hallelujah. Okay? But you can, just one phrase. Okay? I'm not talking about sentences or paragraphs. One phrase to God. Okay? But the person next to you can't repeat anything that you said. Okay? Any words. These and ands and all those things will let you. Okay? But, you know, major words, you can't repeat it. Are you with me so far? Okay? Because all I want to show you is how limited our human vocabulary is in praising God. All right, I'm going to go right here. We'll start with Pastor. I'm going to start with Pastor Phil and go back this way. All right? So we'll see how far we can get. One phrase of praise to God without repeating. The people behind you can't repeat it. So one phrase of praise to God.
You're holy.
Good.
Gloria a Dios.
Oh, that's no fair.
You, Lord.
Glory.
You just repeated his word there. Okay, so we made it four people, and we started repeating. You know, what I'm trying to show you is that the human vocabulary is very limited in praising the Most High God. Our words are limited to praise the one who was and is to come, the Almighty. So God says, be filled with the Spirit. And it will dramatically affect your prayer life. And you will speak with the tongues of men and the tongues of angels. And your worship will go to a whole different level. How many know Pentecost is more than a worship style? Right? It's not about the style of music that we sing. It's not about the words on the wall. You know what? Because Spirit-filled people don't have to be put in the right mood. We don't have to have the lights just right. We don't have to have the setting just right. We don't have to sing the perfect song or my style. Who cares what your style is? Spirit-filled folks have a song in their spirit, a song in their heart. We're speaking to one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs. It's part of us. Spirit-filled people worship God. So show me a Spirit-filled church, I'll show you a church that loves to worship. Show me one that's not Spirit-filled, I'll show you one that struggles to worship. It's just a reality, isn't it? So if you want life to your worship, be filled with your Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Life in our prayer, life in our walk, life in our worship. Say amen. Second word is power. Everybody say power. So be filled with the Spirit, not just because of life, but because of power. Okay? Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth, even the Czech Republic. Right? That we heard about today. So, this Greek word for power is the word dunamis. Everybody say dunamis. That is a Greek word, and it's the same word that we get the word dynamite from. Okay, and if you remember the show Good Times and JJ, you know the power of dynamite. I'm wasting all my good stuff on you guys today. I'm just saying. All right. How many know dynamite has a lot of power? Matter of fact, the story goes that the creator of dynamite knew that he created this powerful invention. And he went to people, he said, what is the Greek word for power? And they said, the Greek word is dunamis. And out of that, he created the word dynamite. Jesus said, you shall receive dunamis. You shall receive power. Now, it's literally translated ability. Or say it another way, it's typically beyond normal human capability. So he's saying, you shall receive ability beyond your ability. You shall receive strength beyond your strength. You shall receive power beyond your... But do you see that? You shall receive something supernatural, supernatural power. Power for what? Power for three things. Write these down. Number one, power to witness. Power to witness. That's what he said. You shall receive power so that you will be my witnesses. We're talking about sharing our faith. Pentecost truly is about harvest. It's about people finding Christ. We don't need Pentecost to get to heaven. We don't need to be filled with the Spirit to get to heaven. We need to be filled with the Spirit so that we can share our faith with others who need Jesus Christ. There's a story in Acts chapter 4 where Peter and John have done this great miracle through the power of the Spirit. somebody's healed. As a result, it creates quite an uproar. How many know when God begins to move, it creates a little bit of an uproar? Somebody say, bring it on. Amen. All right? And as a result, some folks get upset and they start to threaten them. Don't speak in the name of Jesus anymore. Don't do this stuff anymore. They threaten them and try to intimidate them. And as a result, look at what happened in Acts 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, they went back to the synagogue, the temple. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. How many know you can be filled with the Holy Spirit more than once? These are the same dudes that were there in Acts chapter 2. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And with great power, the apostles continued to testify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were threatened. They were intimidated. Shut up. Don't say anything about Jesus anymore. They went to church, got filled with the Holy Spirit and said, I've got boldness to speak the word of God. They continued on. Now, how many know there is a growing spirit, antichrist spirit in our culture that is increasingly threatening our ability to share our faith? In the workplace, in the classroom, in the public sector of any kind. We've seen it in our newspapers. We've seen it in schools and all those kind of things. They want to kick God out of everything and shut the Christians up. Now, there's another place to talk about freedoms and all of that. We'll do that on the 4th of July. But I want you to know that we simply recognize it as a growing antichrist spirit in our nation. So what that means, there's going to be growing intimidation on the people of God to keep your mouth shut. Don't talk about Jesus. Don't bring Jesus to work. Don't bring Jesus to school. Don't talk about Jesus wherever you go. How many know without the power of the Spirit, you'll shrink? But being filled with the Holy Spirit, you will receive ability beyond your ability, strength beyond your strength to be a witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why do we need to be filled with the Spirit? Because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Did you know in other nations where preaching is illegal and becoming a Christian is illegal, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not controversial at all. As a matter of fact, it's preached regularly as a means of survival. Are you hearing me? We need to be filled with the Spirit. Power to witness. Number two, power over evil. Power over darkness. Power over evil. Now, we're talking about, well, Here's the way Jesus put it in Mark 16, verse 17. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. Does anybody believe that that's, if Jesus said it, that's what's going to happen? In my name, they will cast out demons. So that means that we need to have power. There's that word again, power over darkness. So Jesus is saying the Spirit-filled life gives you power over demonic influences and strongholds. Now, you also recognize that in our culture there is a growing curiosity, a growing entanglement with darkness. Too many people are opening the doors to darkness and demonic influences into their homes, their families, and their lives. Through movies, music, media, hobbies, games, video games, readings, books, different types of things. We have opened up the box, Pandora's box, to hell and invited all of these demonic influences into our life. And we wonder why, as believers, we are struggling with fear and anger and nightmares and trembles and tremors and all different types of things. And the problem is, in the church, instead of helping people be filled with the Spirit so they can be delivered from that stuff, we're teaching people to manage their demons. Right? As if we're giving out some sort of medicine. We're saying, well, you can do this as a symptom. When Jesus said, you will receive power, not to manage those demons. Kick those babies out. Right? Don't just pet them, try to hide them in a closet. Kick them out of your house. Why do you need to be filled with the Spirit? Because we live in a culture filled with darkness. And we need to have power over that darkness. So when it tries to come against our children, tries to come against our families, tries to come against our church, tries to come against our business, we can say, in the name of Jesus. A few years ago, our church took a missions trip to El Salvador. And we had almost 100 people on that trip, biggest mission trip I've ever heard of. And we combined with other churches to go to this third world country. Now, the other churches that we combined with, let's just say, not Pentecostal, not Spirit-filled, okay? Great believers, followers of Jesus. And how many know you can hang out with anybody who loves Jesus? I mean, we are not like that, all right? I love everybody, I love everybody, really, but, you know. Anyway, why am I going there? So we go there, and we're having a great time. First Sunday, we're at the main church, and I'm preaching, and somebody's interpreting, okay? At some point in the service, this really young boy, he was 9 or 10 years old, starts manifesting demonic voices and foaming at the mouth, all kinds of just yucky stuff that was going on. And so the leaders of the church took him to a side room and ministered deliverance to him. Okay? And he got set free and in his right mind by the end of that service. We praise God for that. Well, let me just say, the rest of that week, it was not an issue with the rest of those folks from other churches that they were hanging out with a bunch of Pentecostals. Matter of fact, they were pretty happy about it. They, you know, I'm like, you know, you go with another country and they speak another language. You want the dude who speaks the language to go out in front of you. They were pushing us out in front, you know, like, you, we're right with you. We're praying for you. Just... Because how many know when it comes to darkness and demons, it's not about who has the right doctrine. It's about who has the power to speak to darkness. The scripture says, be filled with the Spirit. Why? So that we could have power over evil. Do you need that? Here's what's going to happen. And it may already be happening. And in this season of focusing on the filling of the Spirit, many of you will be delivered of demonic oppression. Many of you will be delivered of family curses. Many of you will be delivered of harassment, nightmares, chills. Why? That's the power of the Spirit of God. Amen. Somebody say amen. Power to witness, power over evil, and power to fulfill the law or keep the law. And we talked about that a couple weeks ago when we talked about the Feast of Pentecost. So I'm going to go to this last one, and it really segues nicely into that. The third reason or the third word why we need to be filled with the Spirit is life and power. Third word is holiness. Everybody say holiness. A man worked in a factory and he was known for his foul language, telling off-color stories. Friday night after he'd get his paycheck, he would go down to the bar and spend most of his money. By the time he got home, he didn't have much for groceries or rent that week. One night he went into a church service and was wonderfully saved and transformed. When he went back to work, he was no longer swearing or telling off-color jokes, and he was coming home with his full paycheck. His co-workers weren't happy with the changes in his life. They taunted him and ridiculed him. One day, a co-worker asked him, "Do you believe Jesus turned water into wine?" He said, "Yes, I do. I wasn't there when it happened, but in my house, he turned beer into furniture." That's the power of God. The Spirit of God, being filled with the Spirit, helps us to live a holy life. Look at what Paul said in 2 Timothy 3. He says, "Mark this, there will be terrible times when?" In the last days. You see that again? In the last days, terrible times. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. And look at that next word. Unholy. Paul says, when it gets closer to the end of the age, when it gets closer to the return of Jesus, one of the prevailing, growing influences is unholiness. Blasphemy. Sin. Compromise. Junk. Now, unless you've been living in a hole, you know that across the board, not just our culture, across every culture, there is a growing acceptance of sin. There are things that you have seen with your eyes that when you were a kid you say, "I thought I would never see that." And imagine what your kids are going to be subject to when they're older. We know that this era that we live in is an era of unholiness. So in the last days, Paul said, be filled with the Spirit. Now, Same chapter as Paul's command, Ephesians 5. Let's read the first 11 verses. Paul gives some instructions about holiness. Remember, the context of this whole chapter is being filled with the Spirit. Verse 1, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. How many know it doesn't pay to be disobedient? Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the world. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. That's a pretty high standard, isn't it? Not even a hint of immorality. No obscene language. No coarse jokes. No off-color conversations. That's a high standard. Some of you might be saying, Pastor, how in the world, in a culture that is racing and totally immersed in unholiness, how in the world does the Apostle Paul expect us to live up to this standard? Easy. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Pastor, how's that going to help me? Because Romans chapter 1, verse 4 calls his name the Spirit of holiness. The Spirit's first name is holy. So listen. Why do I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit helps me live holy. We've been talking this whole time about developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit. I want you to understand that the only way that we can develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit is to choose to be holy. Because if we're not holy, we offend or grieve the Spirit of God. Right? Say, Pastor, man, I'd like to be holy. Man, I'm sick of always giving in to the same sin. I'm sick of being on the cycle of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. I'd like to get off that merry-go-round, that roller coaster ride. Or maybe you know, you gave your life to Jesus, you love Jesus, you put your faith in Christ, but there's this sin that's just got this hold on you. Can I tell you what might be your answer? Be filled with the Spirit. And as you walk in a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit, you will see chains fall off of you. Now, I want you to notice, God is calling us to be filled with the Spirit for life, for power, for holiness. Not for doctrine. Not to make us more assemblies of God than we are. Not to make us better at whatever. He says we need it to be filled with the life of God, the power of God, and to maintain holiness. By the way, what kind of church is Jesus coming back for anyway? The Bible says he's coming back for a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. It sounds like we need to be filled with the Spirit so that we can be ready for the return of Jesus in these last days. I hope you see what I'm seeing. That this call of God, this urgency of God to be filled with the Spirit is about so much more than trying to fit you into somebody else's mold. It's God saying, son, daughter, be filled with my power, with my life, with my holiness. I don't know about you, but I want that. I want you to go back to that verse one more time, Ephesians 5:18. Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what that tells me, what I see in that, is it doesn't say, sit back, wait for the right time, the Holy Spirit will come to you, grab a hold of your tongue, you'll be start, you know, and he'll knock you over on the floor and take total control of your life. That's what some of you are afraid of, actually. It's never going to happen that way. Paul says, you be filled with the Spirit. You know what it means? That means it's up to you. You do the action. You do the moving. You do the hungering. You do the seeking. Get filled with the Spirit. Because how many know the Holy Spirit wants to fill you? The Holy Spirit wants to help you. The Holy Spirit wants to give you life to your prayer, to your walk, and to your worship. The Holy Spirit wants to give you power to witness, power over evil, power to keep the law. The Holy Spirit wants to give you holiness. But He's saying, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And this whole emphasis, this whole season, is about us moving toward God. And say, Lord, we want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to challenge you to do a few things, and then we're going to pray. Clint, if you'd help me. I want to challenge you that in the next few weeks, I've been challenging you this whole time to take one meal a week and to fast and pray. And while you would normally be preparing food or eating food, you pray about deepening your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to challenge you. On Tuesday mornings, we pray. Maybe just during the month of June, you could join us as we gather together here in this sanctuary at 6:30. And we're praying through all of these messages, through all of these topics. Just asking God to fill us with the Spirit and asking God to fill the church. I want you to... There's a book that I'd like for you to read if you can. It's called They Speak With Other Tongues by John Sherrill. And I'm not sure if there are any left, but we had them for sale on the way out today. These are $12. If they're all gone, I encourage you, go to the library, get one, buy one yourself. This is a story of a journalist who was assigned to study the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the 1960s and how he was baptized in the Holy Spirit as a result. It is a great story. You will love this, okay? But most of all, I want you to begin to increase your prayer. This prayer that we've been praying the whole time. Holy Spirit, I want everything you have in my life. Is that your prayer? That's the heart of God. Would you stand with me if you would? Do you see how urgent it is for all of us to be filled with the Spirit of God? Do you see that, especially so in the last days, how urgently we need to be filled with the Spirit of God? If you see that, I want you to write where you're standing. I want you to begin to ask for life and power and holiness. Would you do it? If you would, I want you to surrender by lifting your hands to heaven. Say, Holy Spirit, I want your life. I want life in my prayer. I want life in my worship. I want life, the joy. I don't want to be bound by fear and worry and anxiety. I want life, real life. I want joy, real joy. Holy Spirit, I want power. I need power to share my faith. I need power to be a witness, to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. I need power over darkness. I see demonic influences and I want power over them. Holy Spirit, power to keep the law. And Holy Spirit, I want to be holy. I want to be right. I want to be pure. I want to meet your standard, God. I want victory over sin. I don't want to keep giving into the same sin over and over, God. I want to be delivered. I want to be set free. Spirit of holiness, come live inside of me. Teach me what it means to walk with you. Help me, oh God. Fill me with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. Make that your prayer as we sing this song. Just continue to pray to the Holy Spirit right where you're standing.
Fill this temple with your presence.
Fill us with your presence, oh God.
And let your glory fill this place. Lord, we give to you an offering.